Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
With it being WrestleMania week, it is a great time to catch up with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer online at f4wonline.com. So, Dave, are you ready for the week that is upon us?
Yes, I'm ready, but... It's going to be crazy next couple of days.
I was going to say, because you're going out to Dallas for WrestleMania or WrestleMania week, but you're not staying for WrestleMania, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I'm coming home on Saturday night.
So why not just stay through WrestleMania?
Because I could never get an issue done if I did. Last year was so difficult that I vowed I would never go to another WrestleMania, and then I got talked into coming in anyway for the first couple of days. So if I'm gone for 2 days, I can do an issue with no problem, because I do that very often. If I'm gone for 3 days, it's pretty much next to impossible, and that's pretty much it. But WrestleMania, if I go and watch it live, I still got to come home and rewatch it, because you just don't get the feel of it from the press box. You know, nothing against the press box, but it's just not for what I do. The press box is not the way to cover WrestleMania. So I figure, you know, that I can watch it here on the WWE Network, and it'll be no problem.
So when it comes to this year's show, compare the buildup in your mind for this event compared to one over the past 5 or 10 years. Is it around the same now, or do you think it's lacking more so than previous years?
It's not the biggest. I mean, like the ones that were, like, to me, real blowaways, like when The Rock wrestled John Cena the first time. Yeah, I don't think it's comparable, but it still does feel like it's WrestleMania week. I think that what people kind of miss is that it really isn't the WrestleMania card anymore that's the factor. It's the idea of WrestleMania week. It's a completely different animal, and it's just the thing to do. I mean, there's more tickets sold to this event than any event in the history of WWE, even though if you look at the lineup, you know, it's far from the strongest WrestleMania, and some of that is, you know, when you really look back at the original thing, there was so much stuff that they had. If you look at that, at the original lineup with, you know, Ronda Rousey and Stephanie and Triple H and The Rock, Lesnar and Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. I mean, when you look at that, you know, and then stuff with Rollins and everything like that, and you know, it really would have been a pretty damn strong show, but, you know, there were injuries and things fell apart, and this is what they were left with.
Hindsight being 2020, do you think WWE is kicking themselves for doing the third Lesnar-Taker match last year rather than holding it off till WrestleMania?
I don't think so anymore, because I think that with the Shane McMahon thing, that it's actually better. I think the stipulations for the company at stake is, if you take that away, it really would be a terribly weak WrestleMania show. But I think that the Undertaker-Shane match has really picked up the interest, and I think that's the key match on the show, honestly. So a Lesnar match would have been – I mean, I think people would have felt if they did a Lesnar-Undertaker match at WrestleMania that Undertaker had to win. And it could still be a big match. But with this one, with the Undertaker's career versus Shane taking over – It really is an intriguing stipulation that they would not have had without Shane.
How strange is that for a stipulation from a standpoint that they're both baby faces? I mean, people love The Undertaker. They don't want to see a stipulation, which obviously could be undone, but, you know, on the premise of it, they don't want to see him say this is going to be his last WrestleMania. But at the same time, they want change and they want to get behind Shane McMahon. Have you ever seen a buildup like this for a WrestleMania match in particular?
I mean, there have been big stip matches before, but I've never seen one exactly like this, because usually in a big stip match like this, there is something where people want it, and either they get it or they don't. This is one where no matter what they get, it's a loss. Do you know what I mean? It's like either, you know, they really don't want to not see Undertaker at any more WrestleManias, but they really do want to see Shane McMahon win. So I think that is a different thing, but, you know, I mean, it adds in some ways, but in other ways, with the finish, it's like no matter what the finish is, there's going to be a letdown, because it's like, well, whoa, oh my God, either we don't see Undertaker again, at WrestleMania, or, you know, or Shane lost. So it's, I mean, they put it in there to put it in your head that I think a lot of people just thought Shane was going to win and, you know, Undertaker was going to lay down for him. And I think that they put that out there so people don't think that Undertaker's going to lay down for him. So now it's like, what the hell's going to happen? And it's interesting because I don't think people really know the finish, and that is always a good thing when people don't know the finish.
Absolutely. I've never believed in that premise of Taker is just going to lay down. Now, does that mean that other people won't get involved? No, and I totally expect other people to get involved, whether it's John Cena or Steve Austin or whoever it might be. I mean, they've got to throw some bells and whistles into that match.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whoever, exactly.
They've got to do something. And the funny thing is, too, because we talk about, you know, what could be coming off of that match and that stipulations and even to some extent when it comes to Triple H and Roman Reigns and the fascination of, you know, the reaction that's going to be in that match. I almost wonder this year more so than other years that, yes, WrestleMania is a big deal. The brand itself is what's selling it. But are people excited more about the show itself or the what-if factor of what happens after WrestleMania coming off of these matches, especially when it comes to the McMahon-Taker match?
I think it's the whole week. That's the difference. It's not the show. I mean, they're interested in what happens with the Shane match. And then also with Roman Reigns, I think people know that Roman Reigns is probably winning, but they don't know if he's going to go heel or not. So, and that may not be until the next day. So, you know, it's not like it's WrestleMania. It's, to me, it's like from Friday until Monday, it's like a whole series of things that are going to happen. So, and it's going to, you know, and it's going to determine wrestling for the next, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. I mean, everything that happens off of this show is going to change, you know, something in some ways fairly significantly. I mean, Roman Reigns has been their most pushed babyface for a long, long time. Either he's going to continue to be, you know, without perhaps with some lack of success, or they're going to go the other direction, which is certainly something that they were not planning on doing before. So, you know, that match is intriguing. Where they go with Dean Ambrose, where they go with Brock Lesnar, you know, it's like everything. It's kind of like the beginning of new stories as well the next day and coming off of this.
And that's what I want to see if they do, because we've obviously seen that in the past. And there's some years where it happens more so than in other years. I mean, there are definitely some years where it's not really too much of a change immediately after WrestleMania, and it's more of a, you know, WrestleMania rematch kind of a Raw, and even storylines going up to, you know, that month's pay-per-view following Mania. And I think that's what's going to be curious about this, because there is a potential for so many different things because of the Shane Taker match, and could there be potential call-ups? And then on top of that...
Yeah, the call-ups is another one, because, I mean, I'm pretty darn sure that there's several people. I mean, look, we know Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows are on the way.
Yeah.
We know that more likely than not, the loser of the Finn Balor Samoa Joe match on Friday is probably going to end up on the main roster relatively soon, if not on Monday.
Right.
You know, I mean, so yeah, there's going to be key debuts very, very soon.
Who would you have to guess between those two, between Balor and Joe right now?
Well, I mean, I think that if you really look at it, you know, it could be either one because they need a top heel, and Joe can be that top heel. But I'm thinking it's going to be Balor, Gallows and Anderson and the Balor Club thing. I think that people have been kind of waiting for that for a while. And I know that I can tell you factually at one point, and you may know this as well, that I don't know what's going to happen because obviously things change, that Joe was slotted to win the championship on this show. And I don't know that's changed, if anything, when I look at Anderson and Gallows coming in. Although they were already in when this decision was made, but it all, that all fits. You know, you put those guys in, put those guys all in a new group, and maybe put somebody else in there, and people are waiting for that. And we know the merchandise is going to sell, and that's another key thing.
And the thing that I look at too, it's not just the call ups, is how are they first introduced? Because obviously AJ Styles was one that people have been anticipating. He got a huge pop, and he's been put in a good position. I wouldn't say necessarily great, but a very good position. And we've seen some other people where it hasn't been as strong. And that's the interesting thing now, especially with NXT, because people can be, as you know, they can be over fantastically well in NXT, but that doesn't translate very much, you know, when it comes to going to the main roster.
Not immediately. It translates to about, 20% and maybe more in some cities. But, yeah, you have to reintroduce them. It took the women some time. But the women are getting there, it's still nowhere close to where they were in NXT. But it's not, it's not a failure or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like sometimes it's like it's the most basic things that you can do for these guys to help protect them and give everybody a fair shot. If you give them a fair shot and then it doesn't work out, then fine. But I think that's the thing that frustrates people is that, okay, why don't we just do something simple from a buildup of somebody is coming, whether it's vignettes or whatever, then once they get to the main roster, just put them in a solid position. You know, not everybody's going to be like in a top position, but there are going to be certain guys where you know should be there, where they should be slotted. And it just feels like a lot of times they've gotten away from that for some reason.
Well, one of the things is they're so into this surprise thing. And surprises are great when it's like the right thing. But when like, well, the surprise of Sami Zayn being on the main roster, well, the surprise is that, a lot of people didn't know who he was. And it wasn't that great a debut. Whereas if they had spent, 6 weeks building up at this guy and having him tell his story and then say next week he's going to be there. Yes, it would not be a surprise when he showed up, but at least people would know his story because now they're doing this vague thing. Well, him and Kevin Owens are there, they know each other from the past. And it's like, there's a percentage of the audience that knows the whole story, but the vast majority of the audience doesn't know the story, but we're expected to know it. And sometimes you assume too much and, it makes it tougher for these guys, like especially walking in. If they've never had the exposure on the national basis before, if they just walk in, it's real tough for them. The one thing we did learn with AJ is that TNA is that exposure if you've had enough time on top there, but NXT not yet. And again, because TNA was on national television and NXT is on the WWE network, and while a lot of the people, a lot of the hardcores watch NXT regularly, it's there's still a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a difference, and it's funny you mentioned, Sami Zayn, because to me, that was something that would have been very easily explained if you just grabbed your footage and you put together, you put together a video package or even do a sit down interview, with the two guys separately or whatever. It's not that difficult to introduce a guy and tell everybody the backstory and everybody goes, oh, OK, now I know. There's going to be plenty of people that already do know, but you don't have to cater to them. You're caring to everybody else in your general audience, and they've just gotten away from that.
It's the whole surprise mentality. We have to have a surprise. I'll give you an example. You saw on NXT a couple of months ago when they did that Finn Balor thing, that 3-week thing or whatever it was, building him up.
Yes.
Phenomenal work. These guys, their production team does great work. If they would have, let's just say, on Raw the last 3 weeks, built that up, and then on Monday or a week from Monday or whenever – they do the Finn Balor, introduction, people will already like the guy as opposed to 80% who really like him and then or 20% who really like him and 80% who are going, who is this guy that the other 20% are cheering for? If he was on TV for a couple of weeks and he said who he was and, those things made him out to be this guy you just wanted to see succeed, he's going to come in there and people are going to go, hey, there's that guy. We really kind of like him. Let's hope he succeeds. As opposed to, some people reacting to this guy, but who is he?
Well, we've got to keep those surprises going because, everybody wanted to see Eva Marie on Raw. What a shocker.
That was a different situation, yeah.
That was crazy seeing her on there because I was sitting there thinking, okay, who are they going to put that slot with? And I know some people immediately thought Bayley, but I was just like, no. I was kind of thinking
it's not their type.
Right. I was kind of thinking, well, they could put Lita or,
Lita was my pick.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I was thinking that would be perfect because she doesn't have to do that much. It's 5-on-5,
And she's sort of thought of as a legend, and she works for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. It would have been a great fit. And by the way, that's great that so many people, get on the WrestleMania card, but it's just overdone to a certain point that, yes, it's a great reward for people that have worked so hard during the year and they get this moment. But at the same time, WrestleMania is not meant to be fair. It's just not meant to be fair, that everybody gets on there.
It should be an exclusive club. Yeah, it's like playing in the all. It's like we're watching the Major League All-Star game, but instead of 25 guys on the team, there's 600 guys on a team.
Yes. Yes. I mean, if
you know what I mean?
If you want
like,
to, put them all in the battle royal. You know, put everybody else in the battle royal. That's fine. You know,
Yeah, exactly. Let's introduce every player on every team, and maybe you know they don't even get it at bat, but they're every single player on in the league is in uniform at the All-Star game.
Right, and that's one of the things that drives me crazy about the, you mentioned baseball Hall of Fame, or I mean All-Star game. Somebody from every team gets picked, and I'm like, no, there are some teams that totally suck, and they do not deserve to have an All-Star. They just don't, man. That's just not the way that it works. But so, how many matches are now on the pre-show? Is it three matches?
I believe it's three. I'm still waiting to hear from them, but I think it's the Battle Royal, the women's 10-person match, and what's the third one?
Usos and Dudleys?
The Dudleys match with the Usos, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So those would be the. So, and I don't know like which if any of them are going to be in the first hour. I know the Battle Royal is for sure in the second hour.
Right.
And I think the Usos match is in the second hour, but I'm still trying to get clarification. I haven't heard back from them about it.
Oh, that says a lot about the women then throwing them in that first hour.
Yeah. It'd be the first or second, exactly. Yeah, but it might be the first. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. So I mean, wasn't there a little bit of talk? I don't know if there's anything to it that maybe the Kalisto Ryback match was going to be in the pre-show.
Brian Alvarez told me that last night, but I think that that's not the case.
Okay.
But I'm still waiting for clarification on exactly what's happening. I think that's not the, but I think I'd never heard them say that during the show last night, but you know, I don't always hear every single thing, but I certainly heard mentions of the other three matches during the show that they were on the pre-show.
That would seem like a little bit too much if they put four during the pre-show. Cause I know that they want to give everybody the proper time and everything during the, you know, actual event.
Well, that's the one thing is like that 10 women's match had the chance to be bumped or cut to nothing, and being in the pre-show, they're probably going to get their time, which I guess is for the most part good. In one or two spots, maybe it won't be so good.
Now, my favorite is always how they do these unbelievably awesome video packages, and they only show them on WrestleMania. Why aren't you showing these in the weeks prior to WrestleMania? Because that's when you're sucking people in to want to watch the show.
I know. I don't think that you necessarily need them on. I mean, okay. I would say that when you have like your top three matches at WrestleMania, you should have the video package there at WrestleMania to build those matches up. But I think that if you do it for every single match, then it kind of becomes like overkill.
Absolutely. I agree. And that's just goes to the importance of those matches. And, you know, we've got big matches with big stipulations this year, especially when it comes to the top two matches. But maybe it's just me, but this year more so than prior years, it just feels like WrestleMania is less and less about the, you know, culmination of feuds when it comes to, you know, what's going to be on that show. I mean, because how many times now have we seen guys or matches be put together a week or 2 weeks, you know, prior to WrestleMania, rather being something that was even a month, much less 2 or 3 months, which is what it probably should be for a show this magnitude.
Well, I mean, the funny part about that is I believe that pretty much, and there have been some, you know, minor changes, but pretty much this whole show was that we have in this form was already in this form, at least 5-6 weeks ago. And they just didn't get it. And in some cases, like because Stardust was always in the ladder match. And I had actually been told that. And I didn't believe it because look at how Stardust was booked. So I was always like writing, well, there's going to be a bunch of people. I don't know who's in it because I just couldn't. Like, come on, you're going to put Stardust in the Intercontinental match after you're beating him with all these people. This, you know, obviously they're going to change their mind. And in fact, they didn't. I mean, the only real changes that I know of were you know, as far as the lineup from, you know, the lineup from like, say, 5 weeks ago, the two changes were that the women's match went from an 8 to a 10 with Emma and Eva Marie added. And with the Intercontinental was going to be a 6-man, which was changed to a 7. And Neville is out, and the two people who were put in were Zach and Sin Cara.
That's quite the lineup, because when you look at that match, I mean, good for those guys getting in there, but at the same time, it's like,
down the match.
But yeah, exactly. How many people do you really think have a fighting chance of winning it? Two, maybe three if you count Ziggler, but that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, shouldn't it have been Ziggler, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens,
and Neville? You
know, well, yeah, and Neville.
Yeah.
That would have been the perfect. You know, those four would have had a phenomenal match. You know, by adding, you know, with Stardust originally there, you know, that would have dragged it down a little bit. And and then with Sin Cara, who you know will probably be really good in the match, but he's someone who hasn't been pushed. And, you know, like Ryback squashes him constantly. And then, you know, you know, Zach, I mean, he hasn't even been on TV hardly all year.
I mean, how many people even knew the guy had a beard until we saw him 2 weeks ago?
Only if you went to the house shows, right?
Right, you know, or, yeah.
Or watch Main Event on the network, I suppose.
Yeah,
he is
I
on that show very fairly often.
But, yeah, it's just strange, you know. I mean, and they're
because he didn't even have a beard on NXT, did he?
No, he did not. Mojo Rawley wouldn't even recognize the guy right now.
Yeah.
And that's who he needs to, you know, try to get his way moving up the ladder. And, you know, isn't it strange, too, that they're going to have this ladder match? They feel hell-bent. We got to get, you know, so many people in it. And, like, this is the 1 year, too. There are really no big guys in this match when they're doing a ladder match.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do a ladder match, I kind of wish they would just – I know they've got a whole pay-per-view off it. I with it being WrestleMania, I wish they would move it back to Money in the Bank because that is a very important match. But at the same time, do you really want to do that twice a year? Then it really gets watered down.
And then it's water. Then it's a watered-down thing, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, they did a whole pay-per-view off of it. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to that. You know –
And actually, it became one of their bigger pay-per-views. So,
yeah.
So I think that's actually been the better decision.
You know, yeah. Last year, there was so much intrigue that it was like they weren't pounding you over the head, but there was like these little subtle reminders that, hey, Seth Rollins could cash in Money in the Bank. And then when he did, it was like this big surprise thing. But you don't have that this year because they've already used that Money in the Bank thing. Not that they would do it in back-to-back
years.
Yeah,
it was Sheamus, so you know what I mean? It's
right.
The best that they got that out of the way.
They got that out of the way. So, I mean, we'll see what surprises they bring. You know, we know Rock is going to be on the show. We know Steve Austin's going to be on the show. You know, Shawn Michaels is going to be on the show. Foley's going to be on the show. I'm really surprised, at least with Rock and Austin, that they didn't announce their roles for the show. Now,
they have not even announced Austin on the show.
Right, which is totally strange. I mean, like,
yeah.
It's funny because Steve has always been kind of like, if they don't have something good for me, what's the point of me doing it? But I mean, maybe he's just going to be relegated to that role again where it's just kind of like, you know, he's a host or he does the one segment with the legends or whatever. I mean, hell if I know at this point. It's really strange because, I mean, he's a big name. I mean, you want to get people out there saying, hey, Steve Austin's going to be, you know, doing whatever.
I can't believe that they haven't had Steve Austin on television
in
a promo about I'm going to be at WrestleMania. You don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm doing something. And then all he has to do is stun one person, and that's what he's done.
Yeah.
All he's got to do. It's easy.
Well, it's like Rock. I think Rock will get physical. I think it's one of those things with Rock where, of course, you can't do the match because of the insurance with the movies and everything. But that doesn't mean he's not going to get physical. And I think
he can. I you know, he should do a people's elbow on somebody.
Well, that's what I think is going to. I think he's going to be the fourth guy in the New Day match, and then I think he's going to drop the people's elbow on Rusev and pin him.
Could be. Yeah.
I mean, to me, that seems like the fit there. Shawn Michaels, I haven't mentioned at all. I mean, I don't think Shawn would necessarily get physical anyway. He'll just do something. You know,
yeah, but he could. It's not like he's got injuries. He just doesn't want to do matches anymore.
Yeah,
he can do one spot. He can super kick a guy. That's not going to be a problem.
Maybe that will be the we're going to kill off the Vince McMahon character, so he takes a super kick and a stunner.
Yeah, could be.
There's been a lot of physicality between the main events going up to this show as well. When did that change a lot where guys were getting so physical or there were so many different matches between everybody going in? I know, you know, with some of the undercard matches, you know, these matches leading up to it has happened, you know, in previous years. But when did that kind of change where guys started getting a lot more physical, you know, leading up to WrestleMania rather than keeping everybody apart?
Well, I mean, they've always done some, but yeah, they do it more now. I think it's just because they have so much time to fill on television and, you know, that's just, you know what I mean? They got to fill these 3 hours every week, which is, you know, again, that's the Raw is 1 hour too long every week. So I think that's probably your answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shane McMahon on Raw this week with Undertaker, to me, that seemed to make sense. But the prior times that they got physical did not, that I thought, keep them apart.
I mean, one good physical angle, I think, makes sense. I mean, Roman Reigns and Triple H, did they do, you know, they've been doing it every week and really hardcore.
They're taking out referees and everything too. Jeez.
Yeah, and then with the Shane thing, I mean, the only thing on the Shane thing, I mean, I thought it was spectacular, but it was like they risked the match.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like I'm glad he was fine. The odds were he would be fine, but man, you know, that's a risky stunt. That was a risky stunt that he did, and I mean, everyone was like so cool and everything, and it is. But to me, man, I don't know that I would do that the Monday before WrestleMania, because, you know, one slip and man,
that's all she wrote, man.
Trouble.
And
yeah.
He, I mean, Shane's still a great athlete, but he's 46 years old. He hasn't done that in a while, and he barely got there. I mean, he had plenty of spring, but he barely got there. And
yeah.
that's like you said, one of those slips. And next thing you know, he's splatting on the pavement, and you know, you're risking, you know,
if you pull that match off the show, all of a sudden it does become a disappointment.
Oh, absolutely, it does. Then so, I think the other intriguing thing outside of the stipulations is just going to be what happens with Reigns and Triple H from a standpoint of reaction. And I think
we know the reaction.
Yeah, I think we know the reaction. I think WWE is just like, it is what it is at this point. It's not going to stop us from doing it.
We'll find out when the show ends on Monday. We'll find out, because if Roman Reigns hasn't turned, then that's their reaction. It is what it is, and this is what it's going to be. But we're making him our top babyface. If he turns, then it's like, okay, that's that they figured out. Well, he's going to turn. You know, this is the reaction, so we're going to go with the reaction. And I don't know the answer to that one. I think he's going to turn, but when I look at everything in the big picture, he should turn. Except, you know, they are looking to make a new big babyface superstar, and he's their handpicked guy. So that is the one. That's the one thing.
How reliant is WWE these days, though? Because the brand name is so strong, the WrestleMania brand is so strong. But how reliant are they when it comes to having one really top central guy, rather than just saying we've got a lot of good guys, and we've got a couple of guys, we've got three, four, five guys that really stand out, you know, in the pack. Rather than just saying we need that one guy that really symbolizes the company and is our true and blue top guy.
They don't need it, but it's just, I think, a throw. I think that it's good to have it, to have the one guy that you really put the rocket behind that becomes the mainstream guy that, like, the people who aren't wrestling fans know. But I don't know that he's necessarily that right guy. Because, you know, the guy that you need would be a guy who's really good on talk shows and stuff. And I don't know that, you know, like, you know, John's so charming and everything. And Roman Reigns isn't at that level. And when you know, I mean, you were at the press conference in Orlando. I mean, and I wasn't, but John Cena and Roman Reigns were both at the press conference. And I talked to people who were there, and they said, oh, it's just a big difference between John Cena and Roman Reigns. John Cena's, you know, stands up there and he captivates the room, and Roman Reigns doesn't. And again, that's one of the things about picking that guy. But in, you know, again, historically, from Hulk Hogan to, you know, whoever it is, Ultimate Warrior, all, you know, all through the history, you know, Bruno, you know, Morales, Backlund, there was always one guy that they always did it, and it was a, you know, Austin, whatever, you know, it, you know, and then John for like the last 9-10 years. There's always been the one guy, so that's how they operate the business, based on the idea. Yeah, you know, it is more of a group thing. One guy isn't as important as it used to be, but I think just the mentality of a wrestling promotion is just like, well, you have the one babyface superstar that's the leader of your brand.
I really,
and John, yeah. And John's almost 39, and we need somebody else.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Roman and those things, like you said, when he's doing those events, I'm almost of the belief now that he's still trying to, he wants to be a company guy, like plenty of other people do. He's trying to say what he thinks the company wants him to say in their words instead of in his own words. And I think that's tough for anybody, but it's just not coming off as genuine. John knows how, because he's doing it a longer time too, and John's just so damn talented and so good at everything. But he knows how to say the company stuff, but in his own words. And I don't think Roman has figured that out yet. And so he's just kind of saying it. Even like I did that interview.
I agree. I mean, your interview really brought that home to me, in the sense that I when I read his interview with you, I go, I know where he's coming from, but it's not coming off well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you never want to alienate any of your audience. And he kind of like dissed on people who were like, you know, 30-year-old males, and that's a lot of your audience.
Yeah, that was strange.
Going, well, we're not doing it for you. And it's like, no, you know, you're really doing a product. I mean, look, your largest audience is male over 50. It's not kids. So it's like your product needs to aim for, you know, a lot of different groups. And you can say how John says it. It's like, you know, it is what it is. And you know, I mean, people have the right to their opinion. Don't take it personal, because I think, you know, that's the thing. I think he takes it personal in the sense of, God, I've worked so hard, and why don't these people accept me? And, you know, it must be their fault because they don't know me and all that. And it's just like, you know, just they're going to do it for the perception that you're the handpicked guy. And, you know, understand, you know, once you understand that and don't take it personal, it won't be so bad. But yeah, I you know, there's a big difference in, you know, John does it and the people will still boo him no matter what he says, but he absolutely says it the best way possible.
Yeah, you know, and when you're talking about your audience and who you're catering to, just say, we cater to people of all ages. You know, we've got people that are my age, we've got people that are older, but obviously too, you know, we are, you know, where the WWE is right now, we are still a PG, you know, program, and we try to cater to kids as well. And just put it in that context. But, you know, instead,
I don't even know that you need to bring up PG. I just think you just say, like, look, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinions. There are people who like me. There are people who don't like me. I'm going to work as hard as I can to put on the best show either way.
And
leave it at that.
When he makes those comments, though, about how we were a family show, for people that are, you know, that follow it, you know, as closely as we do, you know, that follow it online and read interviews like this, that just stokes the fire even more, I think, when it comes going after the guy.
I think so. I think anything like that where, you know, again, and he brought up like 30-year-old males, just, you know, don't. And the other thing, too, is I always thought, like, you know, it's very difficult because every baby face that got booed that I've ever seen, with the exception of John Cena that was at that level, it absolutely got to them. And you know, I mean, when Steve Austin, you know, one of the things when Steve Austin did the heel turn in 2001, so Steve Austin wrestled Triple H, I think it was in Vegas. And it was like 5% of the crowd in the background was actually cheering Triple H. And so Steve Austin took that as his signal of, now it's time to make the turn, which, you know, in hindsight was a terrible decision.
Right.
You know, and everyone acknowledges that it was. You know, it's just like, look, some people are just going to do that. And you know, it's like that little, you know, the 100% days for the top guy, they may be over because people just have divergences of opinions. And, I mean, I remember Dusty. You know, Dusty would get furious when people would boo him when he was the top guy. But Dusty never turned heel over that, you know. And the people just, you know, it's just part of the game now. And, I mean, if you watch, I mean, I watch Arena Mexico, you know, most Friday nights. And they just kill those baby faces. But it's not, you can't flip the whole roster. It's just what it is.
Yeah. You know, and after watching Raw on Monday, is there really any question on what match is going to go on last? To me, it's that championship match.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that because I think that the stakes of who's in control of the company are bigger than a championship match. But, you know, I mean, whatever. that's going to be – I got the impression that you're right, that it'll be the championship match. But, you know, I guess maybe the feeling that Undertaker losing is not the way to end the show. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, they like the championship match being on last. But I think the other thing is they always like to have that one visual to end WrestleMania. And I think they want the visual of Roman Reigns, no matter
Roman
what
Reigns
the reaction is, but yeah, him with the belt and the confetti
and the
coming
confetti
down. You know,
and the confetti, right. And people boo. And you know what? Maybe that's where you throw in Austin. Maybe that's where you throw in Rock. And, you know, you have all the champions together. Maybe that's it, you know?
I don't think Rock wants to be next to him again, like, after what happened at the Rumble.
I know. They tried that once before.
I just
and
love it.
And that's the problem. You know what, though? They may boo Rock. But booing Austin in Texas, and it may happen.
Yeah,
that's tougher.
That's tough. I mean, that reaction when The Rock held up Roman's hand at the Rumble, and he kind of looked around like the boo's like, wait, what's going on here? They're booing? What?
Yeah.
He just had this strange reaction. The other thing, too, about WrestleMania this year, there are a lot of matches that really have no rules, like more so than before, because you got the ladder match, you've got the street fight with Ambrose and Lesnar, you've got a Hell in a Cell match. Who knows?
Even the women's three ways are no DQs.
Right, no DQs. Well, unless it's on Raw. Well, that was a non-finish. And then who knows what they might do, you know, when it comes to, you know, the main event, or, I mean, when it comes to, you know, Reigns and Triple H. So, I mean, you could have five matches that really have no rules outside of just pin the person in the ring or make them tap out.
Yeah, and then you're coming back with an Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
And maybe that's what Dean Ambrose, he'll save the chainsaw for that. He can't use it on this show.
Yeah.
he's got a chainsaw. Like, who the hell is going to use a chainsaw? Come on, man.
Yeah. I think he has to pull it out and chase Lesnar away with it at one point.
Yeah, and, like, cut through a piece of wood or do something like that.
Yeah.
You can actually see it. But, yeah, that's So do you see any surprises when it comes to winners in any of the matches that really stand out?
I don't think that it's a situation because, again, like with Shane and Undertaker, you kind of know it could go either way. I mean, like Triple H winning would be a big surprise, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I don't say it's impossible, but I don't see it
happening. And Lesnar and Ambrose, I don't see like Ambrose winning a surprise, but I wouldn't be shocked with Lesnar. So I don't think, you know what? I mean, the championship match result is very important. The Undertaker Shane result is very important, but and the other results, I don't know that, like, again, like with the ladder match, it's like, yeah, could Zack Ryder win? It'd be Shock or Sin Cara, but, you know, or Stardust, but that's not happening anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't see big surprises. I don't see big surprises as far as finishes on the shows, no.
I'm going to be very curious to see the match order as well, because in the past, you would kind of have, you know, that filler women's match kind of as the bring it down so we can go back up. And this year, they don't really have that from the standpoint if you really want to book it correctly, because you've got a very strong women's match on the show.
Yeah. And the filler women's match is on the pre-show that's going to – yeah, so it's like if something goes bad, who gets sliced? I think that's one of the reasons why we maybe only have 8 matches in 4+ hours is that, like, come on. 8 matches in 4+ hours, we ain't going over. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I do wonder, could they do – back to back to back. Could they do Hell in a Cell, Lesnar, Ambrose, and then Reigns, Triple H?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're going to break them up, and I think they'll put like the Divas match or the Ryback match.
Ooh, the Ryback Kalisto match is the Bring It Down match this year.
It's the only one right on the show that I can see. Because yeah. I figure you open with the Intercontinental.
Sure,
you know, I could be wrong, but I'm just figuring that.
The match actually that they could use maybe to split them up is the New Day match, because that's going to be kind of a comedy thing anyway.
Yeah. And you got the Jericho match too, which, I think the Jericho match is going to be a long, great wrestling match, or at least put it, you know, I hope it is anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too that I like, if they're going to have less matches on the show and go with the 4-hour format, is that you're going to be able to give guys more time, especially if you've got those video packages and whatever filler that you have on the show, that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of cuts that you would think to matches, or even a match being just totally sliced out, that everybody's going to get the time that they should get.
Yeah.
Didn't they say
that's the one thing about the show is that which with Undertaker and Shane could work against them possibly.
Yeah, because it, you don't want that going too long. You don't want that dragging too long, but you've got to make sure it's got its time. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing is too, I mean, did WWE told cable companies that we could go like 15 or 20 minutes beyond the 11 o'clock East Coast, right?
Yeah, so they're not even really constrained by time now.
Yeah, so how long do you think Shane McMahon will stick around, win or lose, following WrestleMania?
He wins, he's got to be around forever. You know what I mean? He's got to be around for a long, long time. If he loses, I don't know.
Well, couldn't he guys have a de facto GM and he just pops up like once every couple of months?
I don't think so. I think he's going to have to be there pretty regularly.
Yeah,
you know, because I think they've just established that. I think if he loses, you know, he may be gone. He may be gone completely. I mean, originally, you know, I mean, it wasn't like this was the original plan. The original plan was John Cena and Undertaker, and Shane was there when John Cena got hurt, and Vince was just like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, what do I do now? And then that's when the Shane idea came up. So it wasn't like they've been building the Shane thing up and this idea and this angle. It was like, you know, this was just because John Cena got hurt and the Cena-Undertaker match fell through.
Mm-hmm. There was so much talk, too, about with Shane coming back, could he be sticking around for a role behind the scenes as well? And how could that possibly affect the hierarchy, you know, the structure, you know, when it comes to management? So has there been anything more about that?
No, but because I think that there wouldn't be right now, because you don't want to tip your hand. Because if you go and say that Shane is, you know, not going to be in the hierarchy, you're kind of telling people that he's probably not sticking around and this doesn't mean anything. But if you say that he is, then you've given away that he has to win. So I think that's, it's by design.
Yeah. How do you think this spring and summer could shape up for WWE once everybody comes back from injuries? And when do you expect guys to come back? Like, I mean, Orton's going to be back here in April. Cesaro's coming back here.
Cesaro's coming back real soon.
Right.
Cena, I heard July, but you know, with Cena, you know, you know, Cena could come back tomorrow.
Sure.
And
what about,
you know,
Rollins?
Harper's a long ways away.
Yeah. What about Rollins? When do you hear him coming
back? Rollins isn't that far away either. I mean, I don't have exact date or anything, but he's not that far.
I would think like May, June at the latest, probably somewhere around there. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens then, because, I mean, they're going to have a ton of talent.
And you know, there should be several people called up.
Right.
You know, Anderson Gallows, Finn Balor type of guys. No, they're going to be loaded with talent. Now, they're, you know, of course, who's going to, you know, the unforeseen three or four people are going to get injured while we you know, over the next 2 months too, because that's just the business.
So as we sit here right now, what do you think the main event will be for WrestleMania 33?
Oh my God.
I think it's going to be John Cena against Roman Reigns.
I think John Cena and Roman Reigns is a good pick, and I think Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins three-way is a good pick.
I thought that was actually going to happen this year, but
yeah. So I would think. Let me think. If Undertaker wins, I could see John Cena and Undertaker almost as a really good shot. If Undertaker's still around,
right?
Because they really wanted that match this year.
We're never going to get Sting against Undertaker, right?
I never say never. I mean, Sting said he's not retiring.
Right.
I mean,
well, there's a difference, though. Sting says he's not retiring, but I don't think the WWE is ever going to let him wrestle for them again.
It's scary. I mean, he's got, he's got spinal stenosis. So it would be tough. And then the age thing works against him. I mean, I think after what happened with Lawler, I think they're really, you know, and probably for good reason. They really don't want that, because that's something where it can be, you know what I mean? If something bad happens and it's a 58-year-old guy, it's a lot worse than it's a 38-year-old guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know there's a lot of people that are still clamoring for that match. I'm not necessarily against it, but I just don't see it happening. I just don't see WWE saying, hey, Sting, we're going to let you come back for another match. It's just a big risk to me, and it's not one that's really worth it. I mean, he's 58 years old. He's had a great career. You know, and there comes a time for everybody where you hit your bump card. And I think he hit his bump card.
I think logically I think that the injury was, you know, again, because he got hurt twice in the same match.
Right. And
granted, it was a dangerous move, but pop, you know, powerbomb into the corner, which, by the way, I don't think I've seen a powerbomb into the corner since. So they may have banned that spot.
Yeah, it's funny. They banned that because of a real injury, and then they got rid of the curb stomp, not because anybody got injured, but because it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. So everybody can follow Dave. You can go on to Twitter. It's Dave Meltzer, WON. And, of course, go to F4WOnline.com and subscribe there to the Wrestling Observer newsletter and the membership section. Get all the audio. Of course, get the newsletter and everything else. And, Dave, I hope you get some sleep this week. And good luck with that. And I'm sure I'll catch up with you in Dallas.
Okay, cool. I'll see you in a couple days.
Thanks again to Dave for joining me on the podcast. Don't forget, I will be out at WrestleMania coming up later on this week, and I'll be doing a bunch of different coverage for the event and as many interviews as possible. Follow me on Twitter. It's @BrianFritz. That's the easiest way to keep up with everything that I'm doing between sporting news and the Orlando Sentinel. So everything that I do, I will put out there. And a lot of the interviews that I will be doing, they will be on YouTube as well. I'll be doing video interviews. So follow me again. It's on Twitter, @BrianFritz. And you'll find everything there. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. As soon as it comes out, you'll have it. Subscribe on iTunes or on Stitcher, and please rate and review the podcast. You can also find it on SoundCloud as well. And, of course, you can check out BetweenTheRopes.com. I will catch everybody later on in the week. Talk to you then.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.